Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back for the last day of the Tech Days. Give her a warm welcome, Beth Massey.
All right, thanks everyone. That was a cool introduction, and this is a big theater. I can barely see you guys up there. I'm much more used to smaller, more interactive type of sessions, so if you have a question, yell really loudly, I guess. That's the key here. My name is Beth Massey. I'm a program manager on the Visual Studio team at Microsoft. A little bit about myself here. I kind of injected a slide here just to let you know who I am and why you should care what I'm saying. I'm on the team that built the tools in Visual Studio for SharePoint development. And we also do the tools for Office development as well. How many people out there are SharePoint developers on 2007 SharePoint developers? All right. How many people out there are Visual Studio developers or just interested in the new tools for SharePoint? Okay, I'm actually in the latter half too. I'm more of a Visual Studio developer and have been learning SharePoint, 2010, the last year, and our tool sets. So a lot of times, Visual Studio developers are sort of like, yeah, F5, okay, that should work, right? And SharePoint developers, I feel a little bit more pain, I think, developing on a current platform right now. And so hopefully when you see some of these tools, you'll appreciate how much easier it is to build on the 2010 platform. It looks like it went backwards one. Okay, here we go. Let's get started. I want to talk a little bit about some of the evolution of the SharePoint tooling. So in Visual Studio 2005, we had some basic support with the WSS extensions. And you could do some basic deploy packaging stuff, and you had some basic WSP view stuff. In 2008, we put the sequential workflow and the state machine workflows in the Office node. With Office 2007, you could deploy a state machine or sequential workflows to SharePoint 2007. If you loaded the extensions, you had much better support for more packaging commands, those sorts of things. And it's actually a pretty good platform for building on SharePoint 2007 with the extensions, especially the 1.3 extensions. Visual Studio 2010 sort of takes it much further. And you have visual designers now for a lot of stuff, and we're going to go through a lot of those things, like visual web parts and packaging and feature designers. Okay, so we did a lot of work inside of Visual Studio 2010 to enable a lot of the stuff that you would normally think of Visual Studio handling for you. Okay, so there are some, you probably have heard this, there was probably some SharePoint sessions earlier. I'm not sure, I just got here from Dev Days, so I'm not sure what sessions were here yesterday, but you might have heard this already. But here are the requirements for your development machine. You still have to have a 64-bit operating system. Hasn't changed, but what has changed is you can use a client operating system. You can use a Windows 7 or a Windows Vista Service Pack 1. As long as it's 64-bit, and so you can develop this. I have a laptop running Windows 7 here, so 64-bit laptop running SharePoint. For development purposes, you can do that. Okay, so that's nice. You don't have to run on a server anymore. Still has to be installed locally, though. Okay, that is the requirement. You have to be an admin on the machine, that sort of thing. And then Visual Studio 2010 has to be there. Get the tools. Templates and designers. I had a lot of screenshots originally inside of this PowerPoint slide, but I took them all out because I just want to show you Visual Studio instead. But in a nutshell, you get project item templates. You'll file a new project, and you're going to see a bunch of new project types under SharePoint 2010. You design the web parts. I'm going to design a web part for you. And whoa, okay, this is like going crazy. So maybe we should unplug this. Okay, let's go back. Yes, the technology. Okay, so where are those IT pros in here? Come over here. Okay, so we've got visual designers, and then there are and BDC models, so business data connectivity services. We have a BDC model. Inside you can design your entities, your external content types, and you can write code to pull in data from multiple data sources, and it is read-write now. I think there's a session later today on BDC, so I'm not going to get into BCS and BDC. We will create a workflow. You can create now site-level workflows instead of just list workflows, which you had list workflows before, and now you can create site-level workflows and initiation association forms, which is pretty cool. So there's some workflow enhancements in there, and we'll go over some of those. And the support for sandbox solutions is important, too. Okay, so, you know, instead of having to be, deploy to a farm and be an administrator of the farm, you can also deploy to the site collection instead, and it will run in a sandbox mode. Okay, different security runs there, and it kind of protects you. So let's go ahead and jump into the demo, because I personally cannot stand slides, so especially when they start moving by themselves. So I just got Visual Studio open, and I've got SharePoint open, and I've created a basic Contoso insurance. Contoso is that fictitious company that Microsoft owns. And this particular application is just tracking incidents, tracking insurance claims. Okay, claims are being submitted, and this is just a list. It's a custom list that I've created here with some data in it. And what we really want to do is on the homepage is we want to be able to see like a dashboard, a KPI dashboard of like all the claims that are coming in. We want to just design a nice visual web part right here. So let's go ahead and do that in Visual Studio. So file, new project. So now the first thing you're going to see is a bunch of new project types. Now in 2007, we still support the sequential and state machine workflow, but 2010 is a completely new platform. And so you have a lot more options building on SharePoint 2010. So I'm going to create a visual web part, and we'll just call it Contoso Insurance. Okay, let's make sure I put it in the right spot. There we go. Okay. Okay, so the first thing it's going to ask you is, you know, where is your SharePoint site? And it's also going to give you a lot of solutions give you a choice of sandbox or farm. A visual web part requires still a farm solution, as a farm deployed to the entire farm. So you have to have those rights. And I'll explain why in a minute. Now, you can still create non-visual web parts that are sandboxed. Okay, so, but this is actually when we hit finish. What's going to open up is the ASP.NET user control. It's the ASP.NET designer. So if you're an ASP.NET developer, this should look familiar. You're still going to have to learn, you know, the SharePoint server object model if you're an ASP.NET developer. But the design experience, we tried to make it, you know, familiar. Okay, it's familiar for a Visual Studio developer. So I'm going to jump over to the toolbox here. And first thing I want to do is I want to make this dashboard look pretty nice. Is I'm going to add a mapped folder. So what this does is it's going to map, you know, any images that I'm going to put in my solution are actually going to be deployed to the right place inside of SharePoint. So you can also add a map folder to the layouts as well. So that's why we needed a farm solution, because we're deploying actual files, okay? And because that's in a user control, we have to deploy that ASCX file, okay? So in this case. All right, so I've got a mapped folder here, and now I need to add some images. So let's go ahead and add existing images that I have here somewhere in here. Okay, so we're going to use that on our dashboard. Okay, so, and now I will talk about packaging and how this all works in a little bit, but let's just design our web part. So let's got some, let's see, I've got some design already done here. So I'm just going to drag, this is just the layout of the dashboard itself. So, okay. There we go. So now here are all our images. Now if we take a look here, we go to the image URL. You can see what's going to be deployed. You can choose from here. And it also pulls in all the server images as well. So you could use those that if they were already out there. Okay, so it tries to make the design experience really easy. Okay, so that's kind of cool. The SharePoint guys, is that cool? Pretty cool? Okay. All right. Well, it's harder to deploy those manually. All right, so let's go ahead and add some details. So what I'm going to do in this dashboard is I want to fill in all these labels. I want to basically just give the total, the number of all the statuses of these claims. And then when I click a button here, I want to show what the claims are, the details of those claims. So I'm going to go and add some data. Okay, I'm going to add a grid view. Okay, and let's make it look kind of pretty. Let's do that one. Okay, and the other thing is total. Oop, here we go. We'll just give a running total here of the claims, and we'll drag a label on here. Okay, and the other thing I want to do is just allow the users to add like tasks directly if there's some, you know, some task that they need to perform based on this data. So let's just add a text box down here and another, and then like a button. That's good. Okay, and we'll just say add. So give it some kind of functionality here. So we'll add some tasks. All right, so now we got to actually load the data. Okay, so what's new in SharePoint 2010 is link. It's link enabled. All of the lists and the content types inside of SharePoint can actually be exposed as linked data sources, which is pretty cool. And if you're familiar with link to SQL, okay, or you know, link to entities, in link in general, hopefully everybody has heard of link. It's okay. It's a lot easier to write against these data sources in a common way inside of you know VB or C sharp, right? So they've enabled that. Now the way you have to generate the link enabled classes though and put them in your project from the SharePoint site. So once you install SharePoint, if you go to the common files Microsoft Share Web Server Extensions 14 bin, okay, there's a little exe here called SP Metal. SP Metal is this application that will generate the code for you. So let's go ahead and generate our code. So I've already got just a console or a console window up here, and the syntax is SP Metal. And first we'll specify our web, which I did this once before, so I could actually just do this. Okay, you specify the website. I want to build off the Contoso data. That's the subsite there. And then the code I'm going to generate is VB code because I got a VB project open. But you can see C# too. Okay. So that generates the data context as well as all the types. Okay, so it should be in here somewhere. One of my favorite features of Visual Studio 2010 is I copy that and paste it right in there. I love that. Okay, the other thing we're going to need is to add a reference to Microsoft SharePoint link. Okay, so I think I probably had that in recent. Microsoft SharePoint link. Okay, so now we can go into our code. Let me double click that button. We'll need a handler. And I will need to import Microsoft.SharePoint.link. Now, I have the entire server object model available to me as well in here. Okay, so you can do all sorts of stuff that you're used to with the SharePoint object model, the server object model. There are client object models as well and Silverlight object model as well. So I think there are sessions, here on that stuff too. So I won't probably go into that too much. If we have time, I'll do a little bit of Silverlight in the end. So in the page load, what we're going to do is spool up that data context here. Okay, so we have a Contoso data context, and you just pass it the URL of the site, of the web. In this case, it's a subsite, right? So I have a website. You could also do the full site, the Beth. I think I have the name of my computer is called BethFace1. Okay, so this would be BethFace1/Contoso. And I'm going to update KPI summary. We're going to write that here. This is just going to refresh all of those labels. Okay, we're going to write a query that just, groups by the status, right? So I'm going to, from all the incidents, okay? So the incident list is a list of the Contoso incident content types. And I'm just saying, group them by their status. And then I'm just going into the count their statuses and put their counts here. So that's what we're doing here. And then the other thing we want to do is when we click on the button, okay, when we click on all these buttons, we want to pass that status in, and we just want to find just the status, okay? We want to get those details. And then I'm going to set the details to that grid view that we laid down, okay? So this is using the .NET Framework 3.5. On the SharePoint 2010 is .NET Framework 3.5, not 4.0. So that's why I have the underscores in here. If you're a Visual Basic developer, you don't need underscores anymore in 4.0 in VB10 or the .NET 4. The underscores are here is because it's 3.5 on the server. That's where we're executing as. So let's go ahead and stick the code that we need for our button to add a task. Okay, I guess I didn't put a label down there. There's a status label. Lets us know that our task has been added. I'll add that in a second. So this is using the server-side SharePoint object model here, in this case, the SP context. So for you ASP.NET developers or you Visual Studio developers getting into SharePoint, you're going to need to learn the SharePoint object model, okay? And the SP context is similar to, like, the HTTP context, okay? So I'm getting the current website from that, all right? And then getting the task list and adding a task. Okay, so let's go back over here because I need a label, apparently, that I forgot. So, stick one here. There's our label too. All right, so hopefully I didn't forget anything. Let's go ahead and hit F5. Let's put a breakpoint on this button and hit F5. Okay, so now what the Visual Studio is doing is it's packaging up this feature, okay, and activating it for us, and then attaching the debugger automatically. Okay, so I'm going to show you how you can control the order, the sequence of events, and all that stuff. But that's doing a lot of stuff for you. I think there was like 27 steps or something that you had to do before to get that all deployed and working and everything. So that's nice. You just hit F5. So I'm going to insert the web part that we built. It's in custom. There it is, right there. Okay, so it actually executed. So there's our dashboard, our totals. I have 8 incidents. So when we click a button, there's the details. One is approved. Okay, cool. So we got that working. That's nice. It's pretty quick. All right, let's add a task. Okay, and there's our breakpoint is hit. So now we can, step through. Let's move this out of the way so you can see that. Okay, so we can debug. Okay, easy debugging. Hopefully I don't have any errors, okay? Good deal. All right, task has been added. Let's check, make sure. And there's our tasks. Okay, so, I built a web part in 20 minutes. That's since the beginning of talk. 10 minutes, really, and up here it's slower, right? So as a developer, you have the full, F5 design, F5 deploy, and debug, okay? So that's what we would expect. Okay, so what we want to do now is, you noticed when I clicked the button, it was like a whole page refresh, right? All right, so we have like the whole ASP.NET model here available to us as well. All the controls available in ASP.NET are here too. Okay, plus more. So let's go ahead and change this a little bit. I'm not the web designer myself, really, but I'm just going to take all that out. And what I'm going to do is stick an update panel here, an AJAX update panel, and I'm going to stick all that in there. Okay? And let's go ahead and run it again. So this time, we won't see the flash, hopefully. Now, because I've already added it to the page, it should just refresh the page itself. Okay, it actually retracts the solution and it deactivates the feature and it, deletes your web part. But then when you hit F5 again, it remembers it was here on the page, so you don't have to deal with it. So now when I click agent assigned, you'll notice that there was no flicker at all. Okay, so it's just AJAX. I just threw that in there. So I'm just trying to say that you can use the full features of ASP.NET as well as, the features of SharePoint all in one. And Visual Studio makes it really easy to do that. Now, if I go back over to my task list, I can just go ahead in here and, delete that. I'm like, I'm not going to get that. I don't want to do that. I don't want my boss to, read that and have me do more work. So what we really want to do, though, is we want to make sure we don't delete tasks unless they're, completed, probably. So what we'd like to do is put a small business rule on the list itself, right? So the way we can do that is we can write what's called an event receiver. Okay, so all you SharePoint guys know what event receivers are. But an event receiver is just basically a way to add some simple validation or complex validation to a list itself. So let's add new item. I'm going to select event receiver. Okay, so it's going to ask you what source. Okay, you can also add an event receiver to the entire list itself on list events, on email and web events. But I want the list item. So when an item, something happens on the item on the list. And which list do I want to deal with? I want to deal with the tasks. You'll notice that it's also picked up our incidents list, too. So because it read what's inside of the Contoso site. So let's go ahead and select tasks. And then what events do we want to handle? We can handle all sorts of events here. So I'm going to just the deleted event. Okay, cool. So in this particular one, it's going to be pretty simple, pretty basic stuff. I'm just going to check to make sure that the status, if it's not completed, then I'm going to not allow them to delete. I'm going to cancel the event, okay? And I'm just going to put up an error message. All right, so let's go ahead and you can hit the breakpoint here again and hit F5. Now this time we can take a look at what it's doing. So it's deploying the solution. Let's see. We can see what it did here. Okay. So here are all the steps that happened here. Okay. So it build. You can specify, I'll show you how you can specify pre-deployment commands. Okay. It recycled the IIS application pool. It retracted the solution because there was one there. Okay, because it resolved the conflicts that I had because I already had a web part there. And then it added, deployed, activated the feature. Okay, so it did all those steps for you with the F5. So let's go over here. Actually, it was this one I think that started. There it is. Okay, so now we go back over to, our task list, and I can add a task through here either way. Okay. All right, so now when I try and delete it, the breakpoint is getting hit, and so we can make sure that our code is going to run. So it's going to cancel that event, and it's going to put up an error message. So I can't delete the task. So that's a simple way of just adding an event receiver to a list. Pretty cool. Okay. All right, so let's jump back over. Actually, before I do that, let's go and take a look at a workflow. Okay, so let's stop that. So I mentioned that workflows have been augmented as well. I already have a workflow built, so let's go ahead and just add it into the project. Okay, so take a look at these properties here. Okay, when I created the workflow, File New Project, I'm just created a sequential, simple sequential workflow in this case. I was able to select whether or not it should be a list or a site, so site workflow. I'm gonna execute some, task from manually starting a site workflow, okay, in this case. So we don't have to associate with a library or list because that would be, a list workflow. But we still have workflow history and tasks we can associate with. And so here's the only choice we get, though, when you want to start this workflow, okay? So that's how you can create a site workflow. Now, let's just run this workflow, and I'll see to show you what it does. Let's see. There we go. Set this to startup instead. I'll run it, and then we'll walk through the workflow. And if you guys are familiar with workflow in 3.5, this is the same deal. Okay, so notice that I don't have the web part of there anymore because I deployed the other solution. So let's go to the workflows, site workflows, and you'll see there's our workflow here. So I'm just going to click on it, and it just did something, right? So okay, so if we look and see what it did, all it does is it adds a task to the task list, okay? And as I go and edit my tasks, I edit the percent complete, it will write it out to the history list. So, and the workflow will not stop. It'll keep going in progress until I've completed the task, okay? So you could write all sorts of code around this. So if I edit the item again, and this time I'll make it 100%. You'll see in the history list, it's 100% complete, and now the workflow has completed itself. Okay, so we take a look at the code, it's a very simple example here. Let's take a look at the code here. All right, so it's just when it starts, create a task and wait until the task is changed, until, you know, it's 100% complete. When it's 100% complete, you know, finish the workflow. If we look in the code, though, I've hard-coded the task data, okay? So, you know, it's kind of pointless at this point, right? So what we really want to do is we want to write an initiation form. We want to get some data from the user that supplies data to this workflow. Okay, so that's something we can do right here in Visual Studio. So I can add. Add a new item, and we'll see. Add a new item, and I don't see initiation form. But that's because I'm not in the right project, I guess. Got it. Do it right here on the workflow on the SharePoint project item. Add. There we go. Okay, so it knows where you are. So you have to add it to the SPI, or they call it SharePoint project item, inside of the project itself. Okay, so now I've got, you can also do an association form, but we want initiation data. So add that. Okay, so this is your standard initiation form. It's got a click to event. It's got a button to start the workflow. But what I also want to do is I just want to add a label that says, you know, oop. It's very dark on the keyboard over here. Oh, here we go. Okay, okay, and then we'll add a text box. Sweet. Okay, and then we're going to go and take a look at the code here. And all we need to do is we need to return a string. What is the initiation data? Now, if you had a bunch of data, you'd probably want to create a serializable class, right? And then you could stream it like as out as XML. You can deserialize it back. But in this case, we're just going to make it simple. Text. Okay, so now I can go back over here to our workflow, and instead of this, we want to use what the user supplied. So that would be in the workflow. Oops, workflow. If I could type properties, there we go. Dot. There's the association data, and there's the initiation data. That's association and initiation data. Okay. All right, so now I'm just using the data from that form. Okay, so let's go ahead and set a breakpoint on when the workflow starts. Okay, hit F5. Okay, so this time I'm gonna go over to our workflow, site workflows, and go ahead and start it, and now it's not quite started yet. It's waiting for some data, so. Okay, and now it should kick off our workflow. Hit our breakpoint. And if we take a look at the initiation data, you'll see that it says check completed claims. All right, so now when we look at our workflow, and we go into our task, we see the check completed claims. All right, cool. That's initiation form, so I can do 100%. Completed. All right, and then we got completed again. All right, sweet. Easy. Questions so far? Go back to PowerPoint. You guys never have any questions. You love it? It's okay? All right. Let's go. Let's check out the slides again. How many? I'm kind of assuming all of you in the room are developers because it's a developer talk. But you know, maybe there's some IT pros in the room that are just kind of interested in Visual Studio tools. Okay. Do you guys talk to each other, developers and IT pros? Right? They're at the same conference and they like don't want to touch each other. I want to talk a little bit about the development continuum, and you know, the IT pros can kind of appreciate this, I hope. There's a nice development continuum between Visio SharePoint Designer and Visual Studio 2010. So Visio, used by the business analysts themselves, right? They design their workflows and the data processes. And they can import those, you know, Visio workflows and whatever they're building into the SharePoint Designer. And so that's when the power users or the information workers or the IT pros, they're creating their lists, they're, you know, designing the web pages, they're doing like anything to do except like declarative rules and that sort of stuff in workflows, but nothing related to actual code itself. So if you have to customize it further, right? You know, SharePoint Designer is pretty full-featured. It's a lot of features, actually. But if you still need to go that extra mile, right, that little bit extra, we need to add some custom code. So the code-focused part of it is in Visual Studio. So you can import from WSPs into Visual Studio. Okay, so there's a way to just be able, you know, basically when you export the WSP, the site template, you can just import it into Visual Studio. Now, you can do that as a workflow or as the entire site. Okay, so, you know, and then you can go ahead and like I showed, you know, there's more designers in there we'll get to, but you can customize it further from there. Once you bring it into Visual Studio, though, there's no going back, okay? All right, that's when you start modifying it code-wise, okay, code-focused. All right, so here's the import as the SharePoint site definition or the SharePoint workflow. So this is the workflow. And when you file new project, import SharePoint site workflow. And the XAML, all the rules, all the declarative rules that the SharePoint designer person wrote in there, come over. Okay, you get all that. And then at that point, you know, there's an elements file so that's created for you, and then you can add, delete, you know, modify it, add code to the workflow, that sort of thing. And then you can F5 deploy, right? For the WSP for the whole site, you can also pick and choose which items in the WSP you want to import. So you don't have to import the entire site. You can just say, okay, I just want this list. I just wanted to, you know, modify this list that the user created, add some code to it, add an event receiver or whatever you want to do to it, and then you redeploy it, okay? Or you create another WSP that you have, okay? So let's go ahead and I think I wanted to show that, yeah. So, okay, so let's close all these windows. Okay, so let's go ahead to Contoso over here and save site as the template. Okay, so this is packaging it all up for me into a WSP. Okay, and we'll go over to the gallery and I will take this and I will save it on my desktop. Looks like I already did this a couple times. We'll overwrite that file. Yeah, I try and practice my demos before I get up in front of a giant theater of people. So, all right, well, let's open folder. Okay, so we have the WSP on our desktop. Now we can go into back to Visual Studio. And let's just, you know, add a new project. So here's importing the workflow, and here's importing the entire site. So let's go ahead and so select that. It doesn't matter. We can select, depending on what we're going to be building onto, you know, you have to select which one you want, which is a farm or a sandbox solution. And where's the package? It's on the desktop. So, okay, so this will read what's in here. We'll see all our content types and all our lists. There we go. Okay, so by default, it's all the content is checked. Okay, so there's all the content types and the fields, you know, and then our list instances are down here somewhere. Yeah, they're there. List instances, the modules, the web template itself is there. Okay, so I think I want just to modify incidents. Okay, so the way you do that is you control A to select everything, uncheck everything, select just the thing you want. And then check it. I know there's no uncheck all, I know. It was something we had and then I don't know what happened. Okay, so we needed to ship a product. But that's how you do it. So now we click finish. Okay, so now it lists all of the, well, this is like what all this stuff, the list instance relies on all of these content types in these fields, right? So we have, you can choose whether or not you want to import them to or not. And I'm going to say yes. So it picks up all the dependencies for you as well, which is cool. So now I've got, you know, here's the list instance. So now I can go ahead and party on this, right? I can go ahead and add whatever I need to add, you know, tweak it. It also brought in, you know, everything that's related to that, say the property bags, and it's built a couple features for us in here, okay? Let's jump back over. I'm not going to tweak it from there, but we could redeploy it if you wanted. Let's jump back over here, and I've kind of gone through some designers, but there's a lot of stuff that's inside of Visual Studio that just makes, you know, navigating through the designers or navigating through SharePoint or whatever you're doing a lot easier. So the project system itself, and it's all extensible. We'll talk a little bit about extensibility at the end. Okay, so the project system itself, you know, has commands, right-click commands on the menu here. So take a look to go ahead and deploy, retract, and package it up. So if you don't want to hit F5 and actually run it, you can just package it. You can retract the solution if, you know, if it was out there and you want to just retract it, and then you can just deploy it without debug. Okay, you can do that as well. There's features and package nodes. You kind of saw a little bit of that. We'll get into that in a minute. The mapped folders and the layouts and the images, okay, that makes it a lot easier and nicer to deploy your images and other files to SharePoint. And you know, each project item, depending on what you're selecting, has properties inside of the property sheet as well. So if we take a look at the properties, apologize for the resolution here, so let's pin both of these down. Okay, so you know, here's the feature properties, you know, and the feature receivers. You can build out a feature receiver, so something happens when you deploy the features. Then the safe control entries, you can edit right into here. So that's kind of cool. Auto associate, you can basically say whether or not, you know, when we do hit F5 and deploy, do you want to actually auto associate this, right, or not? Okay. There may be a reason why you don't want to. And then I messed around with the history list and task list in this case because this is a workflow. So if we go over to, let's take a look at the visual web part. You'll see that you still get the feature receiver properties, you know, and the safe control entries, but there's no additional data about a web part here in the property sheet. Okay, so there's SharePoint properties on all of these SPIs, on these SharePoint project items that you can tweak. Okay, which is cool. You can mess with. Oh, if tweaks a weird word. Okay. So here's the tool window. Now, I don't know if you noticed, but I think I had it up in the beginning, but I'm trying to make some room for the small resolution. There's a tool window which provides that hierarchical view of your site, just like it provides a view of your databases, right? So if you go look at the Server Explorer, you'll see that there's a SharePoint connections node now. Okay, so there's our data and our servers. We had those before, but here's now SharePoint. So now you can drill into, you know, our site here. You've got document libraries, you got your lists, there's our incidents. Okay, so it's just a nice way of navigating through the site itself and taking a look. Now you can customize this as well. You can add, you know, your own items to the menu. This is an extensibility model that's actually pretty full featured. Okay, so if you're like a vendor, SharePoint vendor, you provide tools for SharePoint developers, you can hook into these extensibility points and provide other things in here. Okay, so this is just a nice way to navigate through the site itself. Okay. The feature designer, okay, we'll take a look at that in a minute. The feature designer is pretty cool, and you have basically, you know, your name, your title, description, and you also have scope. You can also decide, you know, which features do you want to see inside of these certain scopes, okay? And you can add or remove items to the feature. So all the items in the solution are displayed, okay? So you can add any number of features to a project. A project always has one package, but it can have many features, as many as you want. And all the items inside across solutions can be pulled into those features. And then those features can be pulled into across solutions, any of the package. Okay, so, and then you can decide, you know, there's a lot advanced tabs, and there you can even edit the manifest area if you need to. Okay, there's activation dependencies, and then you can edit the XML if you really want to. The package designer is, you know, similar layout in how it looks, but it's working with the features itself in across all the solutions, and you can put things in the package. Okay, so I don't like these slides. I actually like rather just show you. So let's go in here. Okay, so let's take a look at, I'm going to, let's take a look at this package here. Okay, so I'll move this out of the way. Okay, so what you see is you see all of the items here in the solution, and you can select whether or not you want to reset the web server or not, and I don't have resetting the whole web server, resetting IIS. What it does is, by default, it recycles the application pool, but it won't reset the whole web server. So then you can see all the items in the solution, see all your features, okay, listed. And you can move them in and out of the package itself. Now, by default, you know, just the features that are inside of your, you know, your project are there. Okay, so we have the map folder, and we have, you know, the feature that has web part and an event receiver, because I have a web part and event receiver in here. So it logically groups it by a project, but you're not bound by that. Okay, so you can mix and match how you want to deploy or create your packages. Okay, so there may be different rules for every business has their way of packaging features up, usually dictated by the IT pros. So the developers have a lot of flexibility here. The other area here is you have this advanced tab, so you can add your safe control entries, add your assemblies, dependent assemblies that you need, okay, and get out an existing assembly, and then you have to decide whether or not you want to put it in the global assembly cache or the web application itself. Okay, and so you can basically dig in pretty deep. Now, if you really need to see the manifest, okay, you can. All right, and you know, let's take a look at all of the stuff that we're deploying here. And you'll notice, like, okay, if you really are an advanced SharePoint user, you can still go into edit options. Now, we give you a couple of different levels of editing this file. Okay, now Visual Studio is going to maintain this file for you if you use the feature and package designers. If you have to add, you might have to add your own properties, but you still want Visual Studio to manage this whole thing for you. You can do that. You can just, you know, put in your own properties. And what this will do, it will basically add your stuff up here. Okay, so it can still manage all of these, you know, all of the, you know, all of this other stuff from here down, feature manifest, the template, everything you're deploying, can manage all of that stuff, but you may want to, you know, specify additional properties inside of the manifest, and you can do that. Okay, and Visual Studio will still manage everything else. Now, if you really need to get into all of this area, okay, you really need to go for the gold, right? You can say, okay, you know what, overwrite the generated XML and edit the manifest manually. What that means is, like, bye-bye Visual Studio. It doesn't matter what you do inside of the package designer anymore. You are in charge of the manifest, okay? So there's different levels. I am more of the, you know, Visual Studio developer getting into SharePoint. I'm very happy with what Visual Studio is doing for me right now while I'm developing, okay? But as an advanced, you know, SharePoint developer, or, you know, depending on what your IT department needs and how they need to package this stuff up, You may need to get in a little bit deeper and deeper. And those levels are available for you. And I really like how flexible this is. So that's the package designer. There's also the feature. It looks almost exactly the same. And what you're seeing here is just the lower level, right? The features are all the little items inside of the solution itself. So here I've got this feature actually has two items in it, the web part and the event receiver. So what I want to do is I want to add a new feature. And go back to this feature one, and I want to take out the event receiver. Okay, but I'll leave the web part in feature one. And then for feature two, I want to move just this one in here. Now we look at the package will automatically update now. And you'll see automatically, because both of those items were in there before, they were just in one feature. It automatically brought over feature two in here. Okay, so it was pretty smart about that. Hopefully that's smart to you. It's smart to me. We could remove it. Now, you know, it depends on how you want to set up your project system. You might want to have an empty, you know, SharePoint solution that just has, you know, just manages your packages and features across the solution itself. Okay, so it depends on how you want to do this. All right, does it make sense? So you have the same types of things, you know, here. Here we go. Manifest. Same type of idea. With the feature, you can go ahead and specify what level you want, you know, Visual Studio to handle this for you, or do you want to go ahead and add just some properties to the manifest, or do you want to go ahead and, you know, overwrite the whole thing and manage it yourself? Okay, so that's pretty flexible. Right. So are there any questions on the feature and package, how that works? What do you guys think? Just raise your hand if you think that's cool. Okay, all the SharePoint guys. Awesome. All right, so I think it's flexible, and if you think differently, come up afterwards and we'll have a chat. Okay, so there is another window in here. Okay, there's a packaging explorer. So if you don't think that's cool because you just didn't like how those designers look or whatever, or you don't like the Solution Explorer, and there's one more window I can tantalize you with. It's called the Packaging Explorer. Okay, so this is kind of a better view if you're trying to kind of visualize what's across the whole solution, right? So now it's giving you kind of like just a tree view of what we were looking at in that designer here. So you see now I've got two features. I've put, you know, just these items separately in these two features, but it's in this package, okay? Because every project has one package. Okay, so the name of the project. So there's a feature one, there's, you know, we have a couple features that were automatically pulled in for us here, three features here. Okay, so, and you know, we can move these things around. You know, I could put this up here, you know, I don't know, in that one. Okay, you move it like that, and I just basically did the same thing with the arrows. Okay, so there's multiple ways of, you know, managing your packages, depending on how you like it. And we also have extensibility here, too, right? You could validate, view the designer. You could put your own menu items in here to do what you want. Okay, so there's a two-way thing here. If you double-click on it, you open up the designers as well. Okay, so there's kind of cool tools in there. Okay, so what about taking a look at the project properties itself? So I mentioned when, you know, you hit F5, it does a series of steps, right? You'll notice that there's a new SharePoint tab here. You can actually, you know, specify pre-deployment and post-deployment commands. You may have to, you know, do something specific. Let's move this out of the way. There's also configurations. Now, you can't mess with the default configuration. And you can't mess with the no activation configuration, but you can add your own configurations. So let's take a look at what the default does, though. Let's see, view. Okay, so by default, here are the deployment steps, okay, and here are the retraction steps. This is what, by default, Visual Studio will do. Okay, so it'll, you know, run your pre-deployment command and your post-deployment commands. It'll recycle the IS app pool, retract the solution, add the solution, activate features. This is the order in which it will do in default. Okay, and when you, you know, stop debugging, it'll just recycle and retract. No activation just does all of that, doesn't activate the feature though, okay? So there's no activation in here. Now you can create your own though, okay? So I can create my own, you know, new deployment. And I can specify, well, you know, I want to do the pre, and I don't need to recycle the app pool because I know that I'm not going to need to. And you know what? I activate it at the end and run the post. Okay, and then same idea. You can go ahead and, you know, maybe you want to do pre-deployment. That's a pre-deployment command. Maybe there's something in there, you know, retract the solution. Okay. All right, so you can go ahead and create your own. Sorry, the window here is small. Okay, so now you can select that on the configuration. So by default, you know, it's default still. You got to select it. So now for this project, it'll run it in that order. Okay. All right, so there's a lot of flexibility in the way you can deploy as well. Any questions on deployment or packaging features? Yeah. Can you use PowerShell commands? You can, yes. You could use any, well, you could even call out like to other, you know, EXEs if you want, you know, in the command line. So yes, you can use that. Okay, let's go back over here. Okay, so that was the package designer. We already went through that. Okay, and then the packaging explorer. Okay. All right, and I did that one. All right, so extensibility. I was mentioning kind of as I go through, you know, each of these areas, I was trying to show kind of extensibility points. So context menus, you know, on the project properties, on, you know, the SharePoint, you know, just, you know, browser, you know, the extensions that are available to you are pretty much everywhere you see like any kind of list in the Solution Explorer or the Server Explorer, you can add extensibility points there. The Visual Studio itself is, you know, new. It's the whole IDE extensibility model is different. It's changed. It's based on MEF, Managed Extensibility Framework, and so are all of the extensions inside of SharePoint itself. So, so if you know who's heard of MEF, MEF, okay. So it's just kind of a standardization of a pattern, really, of an extensibility pattern. Okay. So if you know MEF, you basically can extend Visual Studio in a lot of different ways, and then SharePoint is no different. SharePoint items are no different. Okay, so you can create your own wizards. You can, you know, execute actions and all sorts of stuff. I'm not an extensibility expert myself, but who out there in the audience writes extensions for SharePoint right now? One guy. So you probably know more about MEF than I do. Okay, so come up to me afterwards if you have more questions on that, and I can get you some names of some folks on the team that can help you out with that. And we have a lot of Channel 9 videos right now that are from the team that are going up, and I'm promised from one of the guys on the team that we'll get an extensions interview. So there's the Server Explorer extensions, like I mentioned, and the deployment as well. So that's actually another area of extensibility is the deployment steps. Okay, so you can create new deployment steps. So I showed you like in that list where we just were showing the configurations, you can add your own in there, like what those steps would be. Okay. Packaging, validation rules. Okay, I had the right click validate, so you can extend that validation with your custom rules themselves. So if you have some sort of different business logic or validation you need to do, like don't let Beth Massey write any SharePoint you know, web parts, you know, that's a validation rule. And then MS build extensibility as well. So now the idea is that, you know, you're using Visual Studio at this point, you get all of the things that Visual Studio has to offer with SharePoint development, including, you know, ALM, including source control, right? Including MS build. So you really have a lot of full features of Visual Studio that you can just apply to your SharePoint projects itself. So let's, before I go further, I'm not going to show extensibility, but I want to show something that people have been doing for a while, but it makes it a lot easier in Visual Studio, and that's building Silverlight web parts. Okay, so who out there has built your own Silverlight web parts? And did you like the experience of deploying that Silverlight web part? And okay. So hopefully it's a little bit easier using Visual Studio. So like I'm gonna try, so we have some time here. So what I'm gonna do is I have an existing project. So let's close all these windows here. Close all the documents. No, we don't need to save those. Okay, let's add a new project, an existing project. Okay, so we've been working with tasks, right, today. So I have this little Silverlight task adder. Okay, so who wants to do ASP.NET when you can do Silverlight? Now, the interesting thing here is what the references, if you take a look at the references, there are now SharePoint client libraries for Silverlight. Okay, so I've imported those two references. So theoretically, you could use you know, a Silverlight application outside of the context of SharePoint itself. Doesn't have to be in a web part, and you could work with the Silverlight client for SharePoint. Okay. It's pretty cool. So you could write your own clients. And there's also one for the .NET Framework 4 too, as well. So if you have a WinForm or that sort of stuff, you can use that client library as well. So there's a lot of client object models for available to you. So I've done that, and if you take a look. Okay, all it's doing is it's doing the adding of the task, okay, and it's using the client object model to do that. But it's got like some gratuitous animation because it is Silverlight. You have to make it cool, right? Okay, so you get the client context, and it's just the application context, current URL, and same, almost very similar to the server object model. You know, we're getting the task list, okay, and then I'm adding an item to that task list. Now the Silverlight is asynchronous, right? So it has asynchronous execution, right, on the context itself. Okay, and so if it succeeded, then we'll just think your task has been added. Otherwise, we'll tell us what the error was. Okay, so how do we get this deployed into SharePoint? Okay, because it could actually run outside of SharePoint if we had the right URL here. Okay, this is using the context of what's in when it's inside of SharePoint, but we could actually specify the URL and it could run outside. So let's get this in here. So I think what I'll do is I will add a new project. I'm just going to do a empty SharePoint project in this case. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and do it to Contoso. Actually, what I'm going to do is not specify Contoso, remember. I'm going to, and that's okay. If you make a mistake, you can just go down in here. There's a site URL is right in here. I actually want to deploy it. I have a document library on my main site called apps that I want to deploy this to. So really what we're doing is we want to deploy the ZAP file, the XAP file, the output of the Silverlight project, and we deploy that into SharePoint. So the way you do that is you just add a module. Add a new item. I'm going to select module. Okay, and you'll notice when you add a module to a project, it automatically gives you like a little sample TXT file. It's just some content. It's just letting you know that, by the way, here's your module, and it's just some sample content in here. Now, when I delete the sample TXT file, it updates the elements file. Okay, so that keeps in sync for you, which is nice. So the way we're going to do this is we're going to go into the module, SharePoint project item, and here's some more SharePoint properties, and I'm going to specify the project output references. Okay, I'm going to click on that, and in this case I'm going to select the project name is the Silverlight Task Adder, and the type of deployment, it's an element file. Okay, so here's the deployment location, template features, feature name, module 1. Okay, so you can change that if you want, but that's by default. That's cool. You could also change it inside of here if you'd like. So I think what I'll do is, because I want to specify a different doc library here, the URL is apps. I created an apps. And I want this URL just to be Silverlight Task Adder. And so we look at it. We'll take a look at it. Okay, so we can see it in the library. All right, so let me set this as a startup project. All right. Cool. Okay, so all of our steps were completed, and now we've got this home page. I want to stick it down here, but we've deployed it. Hopefully, to the apps folder. Okay, so here it is here. So I'm just gonna copy the shortcut. So let's go ahead. Now this is, you could hide this. It could be like, lockdown list. That's what I kind of haven't shown. I'm not showing it on the navigation tree or anything like that. I am an admin, so I can go in there. So now I'm going to go ahead and edit this page. And we're going to insert, and instead of, the custom, okay, instead of that, we're going to go into media and content, and there's a Silverlight web part in here. Okay, that's new in 2010. And then what you do is you just specify the URL to the ZAP file. Okay, and I want to make a couple property changes here, so I'm going to edit the web part. So it looks good. Okay, the width, yes. Just the width like that. Okay. Save, and there it is. All right, cool. So it's up. Let's check it out. Okay, you have to pay attention now. You're going to have to really look because it's going to blur. You know, that gratuitous animation is going to happen when I click the add task. Wow. Okay, I'm not a Silverlight developer, okay? I that's about as good as it gets for me. So let's go ahead and check our tasks. Okay, and there's our new task right here. Check on the completed claims. Okay, so that was using the client object model, right? So it's different object models you have available to you now. Okay, cool. So that was pretty easy, right? It was pretty easy to deploy. And same thing, you're going to get the same kind of packaging and feature editing that you can do across your projects. Okay, that's just inside of this package now. Okay, so I've got this module. Module one, that's got it. All right. Any questions on that? No? Awesome. Okay, so let's jump back over to slides. Okay. So I can show you a couple more things since we have time. You guys never ask too many questions here. But I want to summarize what I kind of have showed you. The idea behind, you know, building these tools in Visual Studio was to make it very familiar to the Visual Studio developer, to basically break the barrier of entry for development on SharePoint. Okay, so it's pretty tough right now, and not a lot of Visual Studio developers are, you know, that jazzed about it when they have to load tons of extensions, and it's a different platform itself already, and there's a lot of, you know, differences in learning SharePoint itself. Is there a big learning curve just on the object models and how to administer it and, you know, develop on it too? Just makes it a little bit harder to get to it. So I think with that familiar Visual Studio experience, you're going to get, you know, many more ASP.NET developers, or, you know, just general Visual Studio developers, you know, getting into SharePoint development. It is a very hot platform, right? Users love SharePoint. They love it. Developers may not, but users love it. So it is, you know, in large enterprises, it is becoming a very hot, popular thing. And a lot of licenses are being bought, which is a good thing. So, you know, you have a lot of opportunities as a developer to use, you know, Visual Studio to make that, you know, business processes easier for users, make extensions for other, you know, Visual Studio developers. If you're a SharePoint developer, you have an opportunity now, right? So you have an opportunity to provide your expertise and extend the tools with the stuff that you're doing that's just a little bit different that Visual Studio can't handle, or is an edge case, or is something really cool that a Visual Studio developer just getting into SharePoint development might want to buy your stuff. Okay, so we made sure that ecosystem is going to be there. I could show you in the end that we have business data connectivity support, and I did mention there's a BCS talk later on. So I want to show you that one designer. A good friend of mine worked on this thing, and he would love for me to show it, I'm sure. So I'm going to go and add a new project. Okay, and now you see business data connectivity model. Okay, so this is a... This is the way we can describe an external content type, and we can load data from multiple data sources. So the way this designer works is you are modeling your entities. Okay, you're modeling entities here. It's kind of, there we go. Okay, by default, you just get this entity with one identifier. If we take a look at the entity itself, you're defining basically what that entity looks like, what that content type looks like when the list is displayed, as well as when you edit an item. Okay, so in this case, by default, when you file a new project, you get an identifier, and on the entity, you get a message. You know, it's just a string. So if you take a look at the code, here we go. Okay, you'll see that this is populated for you by default, this template. Okay, so the read item and the read list, okay? Obviously, you're going to want to change how your entity, you know, works, right? You're going to model your entity. So you go inside of this. You can mess around with the entity. And because you have to describe the return parameters, like the entity, how the entity looks, it could be different depending on whether you're viewing a list or whether you're actually, editing the item itself. And so you can go ahead and maybe, you know. Okay, so I just pressed copy and paste. So you can actually edit inside of here what the entity looks like. I got another message here. So you can also use this window down here, okay, to add a parameter as well, okay, or mess around with the methods. Okay, so some methods here, like create a finder method. All right, we could do read item instance. Filter, which is cool, you know, filter descriptors. All code sorts of stuff. What you're really doing is, like, in here, in your code, in the code, you would be pulling up data from your data sources, okay? And then you're just exposing that this content type as an external list in SharePoint, okay? I have SharePoint Foundation loaded on this machine, and so you just needed a feature event receiver or feature receiver to activate it, okay? And it will work. But on the SharePoint server, if you load server on your machine, make sure you have about 6 or more gig of RAM, okay? Because there's a lot of services running with SharePoint server. Okay, with Foundation, if you're just developing on Foundation like this little laptop is, then you can get away with less, like 4. You know, 2 would be a little bit difficult because you got Visual Studio F5ing and everything. So this machine's got 6 on it, I think, but it's a little laptop. So at any rate, this is much more your advanced scenarios for business data connectivity, and I'm probably going to go back and attend that session later in the day. So who's doing BCS? Nobody? Okay. Then you guys are like, list designer looks new to you? Okay, so that, you know, the scenarios there are many scenarios there. You want to be able to not only read in data from external data sources, but also update it. And so in 2010, they've enabled the updating of it. They had it before in 2007, it was just read only. So you'd just be able to read the data into SharePoint, but you wouldn't be able to update it. Now you can update it. Plus, a Visual Studio developer can come in and, you know, really write a lot of heavy logic around how the data, you know, is validated when it's updated, how it, you know, looks when it comes out of those external data sources. Okay, and the same idea, you know, you're going to get the same exact type of packaging and feature, okay, with BDC as well. All right, and we just shot, me and Boris is PM's name on this team, and we just shot a Channel 9 interview that I will be releasing probably when I get back home next week on some tips and tricks around the BDC designer. And we've already done a couple videos with the team on the tools overviews and kind of what I showed you today. The Lily, like, talked about the packaging and feature explorers. So I encourage you to go out to Channel 9 and just, you know, SharePoint and take a look at some of those videos to get more information from the PMs themselves that built those tools. Since I'm on the team, I can always rally them up and get them to do an interview for us. And we'd really love to get your feedback, especially from the SharePoint developers that are already, like, trying out these tools. We'd love to get your feedback on what you would like to see for the next version of Visual Studio. We're always open for that kind of feedback, for sure. So, all right, so I think that was all I had. So let me go back over here. So I want you to grill me with questions that I can't answer and hopefully can answer. So questions, we got 5 minutes. All right, none? Okay, so who is not impressed with any of these tools? Awesome. Okay, so everybody is impressed with these tools. All right, so what I have a call to action, and I want you to go out and go check out these resources on the SharePoint Developer Center, okay, msdn.com/SharePoint. That's a developer center, so it's a brand new developer center. It has how do I videos, and it has all sorts of, like, training content. You can really get deeper and get your hands on a lot of this, you know, stuff here that I showed. If you're more interested in, like, you know, getting the code that I have, come up and I'll get it to you. You know, we have 5 minutes, get it to you right now. If you have questions that you're just afraid to ask because it's a big room and, you know, people will stare at you, just come up to me afterwards and I'll give you my email address and you can email me. And if I can't answer the question and I'm on the team that built these tools, we'll get it answered. All right? Cool? All right. Well, that's it. Then thank you. Go get out early and have a cup of coffee.